Bruchim Aboim, Shem Egan Shir Torah, Moses Boston. I'd like to welcome everyone to tonight's Shir. Everyone participating here in person, as well as those participating through the hookup with Torah Conferencing Network throughout the United States. I'd like to give a big shakar to Mr. Shimon Lefkowitz for sponsoring tonight's Shir, Le'ili Nishmas Oviv, Rabbi Shalber, and Yitzhak Doiv, Halavah Shalom, who is a supporter of Egan Shir Torah as well. I'd like to give a shakar to the Weinstein, Mr. and Mrs. Mendel Weinstein, a family, the Ili Nishmas, Klonimus Kalmanberg of David, and Yitzhak Isaacberg of David. I give Yashakar to Mr. and Mrs. Yitzhak Klug for the support, Snashe, the Ili Nishmas Ovid, Ramosha Pintrasberg of David, and Aisha Itka Bas of Yaakov Menachem, Aisha Chayarochachol Bas of Yaakov Menachem, and to the Cohen family, the Ili Nishmas Ruspas David. Penishmosum Tzuru of Tzara Chaim. Tonight we have the Kovatav with us, the famous Rosh Shiva of Yaakov Bender Shlita, Mechanech for many years, came to be Mechazik us and speak to us on the important topic of raising happy and obedient children. I'm going to cover the corner by Bender for tonight's Joshua.
Thank you very much for the kind introduction. Shimon, thank you. I would have known to be even more excited that the Schussia father, Yisrael, was a terrific person. Yisrael was not just supportive of Egan Shir Torah, he was supportive of every Dabar Tov that we have in this country today. And special schuss for me. I want to thank Uzrai Bold for inviting me down here tonight. Truthfully, he's invited me for 5 years already, but I had every excuse in the world. And I'm apologizing to him because it's a tremendous schuss for myself. I wasn't feeling well this week, a little bit under the weather. So crossed my mind maybe to said I can't. I'm finally here. So Baruch Hashem for them. I'm not an expert by any means. I guess share with you a little bit from experience, a little bit yeshiva, of what I feel needs to be done in order to attempt at least to make the happy children. I want to repeat to you a few pesukim, beginning of Devarim. No one speaks about it to the best of my knowledge, but I think it gives a little bit of an idea. Vos mein tata. What's that tata? What does a father have to do? So the Chumash Dvarim, as you all know, is a Chumash of Techacha. It's rebuke. HaKadosh Baruch Hu became upset with Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu is repeating all of the things that went on in the Midbar with Klal Yisrael. That they went ahead and they did the Kama V'Kama Avlois, starting the Egel, Kehena V'Kehena. And Moshe Rabbeinu is repeating all of these stories over here in a veiled way, in an open way. Then we have Pasuk in the beginning of Dvarim. We have Pasuk Tes. Vaymar Aleichem, and I said to you, says Moshe Rabbeinu, Vaymar Aleichem, I said to you, basically, in that time, Lamer, to say to you, Le'ucha levadis eis eschem, I cannot carry you. I can't carry you. You're impossible, Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is a tata. He says to Klal Yisrael, I can't. Le'ucha levadis eis eschem. You know why? Hashem Alekeichem, you're Hashem. Hirba eschem has multiplied you. V'hinchem ayayim k'chech v'yashemayim l'roi. And today you are, so many of you, like the stars in the heavens. I can't. Next pasuk. That was pasuk Tess and Yud. I can't do it. Pasuk Yud is, there are so many of you, and I can't handle you. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Hashem l'kei v'seichem, Yosef aleichem g'chem elef v'amim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should multiply you 1,000 times over. And there should be many, many more of you. V'varech eschem, he should bench you. Kashyadibu lechem, he promised you that you'll be so multiplied, no one will be able to count your children. Vas tutzurda. Moshe Rabbeinu is complaining to them, there are so many of you, I can't handle you. And a pasuk later he says to them, there should be many more like you. Sort of like, that's pasuk Yud Aleph, pasuk Yud Beis. Eicha Esol Avadi, one of the only pasuk that we read, the Lashon of the Eicha, the meaning of Eicha. Eicha Esol Avadi, how can I carry you by myself? Perachachem ma'asachem berivchem. You're impossible, you fight. You made me a very difficult time throughout all the years in the Midbar. You took away my lifelong dream of going to Eretz Yisrael. I can't do it. Bas tutzach. Moshe Rabbeinu is first two psukim is I can't handle you. Then there are, I wish there were many more like you. Then I can't. The answer is very pashut. The answer is I think. The answer is very pashut. Moshe Rabbeinu is the tatav in Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is the father of Klal Yisrael. He's carrying them kisa yainika. He's carrying Klal Yisrael on his shoulders for 40 years in the Midbar, and he's telling a tataret. One minute he's telling them off, one minute he's giving them musa, the next minute he's telling them, I love you all. The aside of chinuch has to be, there has to be a discipline in the house. You want to be to your children. Not so easy, Rabbi Yisrael, and by no means am I an expert. Baruch Hashem, I have a wife at home, she takes care of that. But you need to have obedient children. You have to have a discipline in the home. You have to have discipline in the shtub. At the same time, you want to have simchas achayim in the shtub. You want to have a happy place. So you have to be firm. At the same time, one thing not to let go, I'm not telling any chidushim today, is out there, Rabbi Yisrael, that your unadulterated love comes through at every given time. My mother, Lashalim, who is really, I'll mention her name a lot of times, when it comes to chinuch, I do talk about her because we were young when our father, Zechanu Levracha, L'chaim L'mavo, was Nifta. And she really raised us. She raised us by herself. And we didn't have much. But she was our mechaneches. I don't remember a single time in our house, as my father, of course, I remember somewhat the early years of our upbringing, that my father also was involved in our chinuch before he was Nifta, like I said, a very young person, Manal and Tervidas. But I don't remember in all the years that my mother raised us that any of us should ever have gotten upset with her. I don't remember in all the years that my mother, anyone should have spoken harshly to her. And the Chiddush is not on my siblings, the Chiddush is on me. None of us got excited. She did chinuch, I think in the way, and she once told me the following thing. He says, chinuch is all about the following mashal, she said to me. When you walk into a glass factory, the olden days you saw it once in a while, many people say they see that in the old fashioned, I mean today's factories which are neat and clean and so on. You walked into a glass factory, what do you find on the floor? There's glass all over the floors. When you walk into a printing shop, which you don't see today either, everything is automatic today with computers and anime. And I remember the stores in Borough Park, Shmuley Goldstein, Allah Bashalom, what a wonderful person he was. You walk into the store, there's always, wherever you walk, there's papers on the floor. That's the meaning of a printing shop. Doesn't mean the printing shop. He says, when you're working with raising children, you're working with children, be careful not to let the children be on the floors. When you're working with children, it needs no heschadas. You can't take your mind off them. Everything you do has to be thinking of the children and what could be best for them. And you can't stop for a second. You don't want to step on glass. You don't want to step on paper. You say you don't want to step on children. And that's what she drilled into us. Really, she told us this all the time. Because most of us went into chinuch. All of us went into chinuch. And she spoke about this topic. So how do you do it? We took Mr. Maisa. There are a lot of no-nos, really, which is very easy for me to speak about. And there are very few yeses. Yes, we already spoke about one major one. The yes that we spoke about is the idea of giving them the avod, no matter how upset. My mother, Shalom, I'll tell you another chiddush now. I don't remember, I asked my siblings the same question, that she ever, ever gave any of us a single patch. Now that's, we were young. Never, ever. I remember, before my father was nifta, a single patch ever. It was enough that the ava and the love was so great, she was our best friend. Now, best friend, doesn't that read chutzpah? No, it doesn't. Because I don't think any of us ever spoke with chutzpah to her. I think the key aside was that she knew that the minute she shows her displeasure with us, which, believe me, I mean you certainly plenty of times, we knew we'd be terribly devastated and disappointed. That was enough. She built up the relationship to be one that it shouldn't have to be with meanness and screaming and yelling and having things thrown around the house. Not necessary at all. You have to come to a point where you love them and they love you back, and because of that, it's an easy word to use, love them and like them, etc. But that if you hurt her, she's going to be disappointed in you. And that's it. How did she do it? She did it purely with lessons every minute of every single day. Let's talk about opportunities. We have opportunities every single day, mamish opportunities all the time to chinuch. We don't take advantage of the opportunities in chinuch. We don't really do what we have to do in taking advantage of chinuch. I'm sitting with my nephew, who's here tonight, so I remember the story about his mother, my sister, Shalom. This is not Gesundheitstag, my sister, my other sister, Niftan. This is the woman, she should be benched. Anyways, so I'll tell you a very good story once. She once was walking down the street. Now, I'm not sure because she heard the story, didn't hear the story, but I'll tell you in a minute, with Rav Pam. So, Colonel of Racha. She was walking down the street, and the lesson I had from that, again, was she was much older than me, about 6, 7 years older than me. I was much older in those days. And she's like one of my big sisters, and she found a $20 bill. This was the 1950s, late 1950s. She found a $20 bill. $20 bill, I don't think it was like a $2,000, but it's close. In those days, a lot. Sachgeld. Bekitza, we didn't have anything at home. But she came back home, Vaslochton. I found $20. Somebody is upset about it. Somebody's upset that they lost $20. If they lost $20, what's going to be? They have a problem. Now, my mother didn't tell her, finders keepers, losers weepers. Isn't that the standard thing? Kids come over to yeshiva all the time, I found $5. What do we tell them? It's yours, belongs to you. Uh-uh. My mother listened to her. She was upset. She upset? She found, well, it's more of a compliment on her than it was this particular story on her herself. She went outside, and my mother said to her, Luma, was this do? I remember saying vividly like today, what are you doing? No, because she saw, she was trained, that money isn't everything. It's a lot, I know. But it doesn't mean that much. And how can I be hand off in $20 when somebody else lost $20? She went out on the street, she stood on the street corner, she said, I'm trying to find the person who lost $20. Now, we told her, yeah, it's very funny, there'll be a line around the block. You're going to announce, you know, I found the $20 bill. No, she said she's going to stand there and look around for somebody who may be looking around. If I see somebody looking around, I'll ask them what they lost. Now, you look at me like it's a little bit, you find money, you got to do that? I'll tell you a story. I write that she was right. I heard from Aaron Palm, a Rebbe in our yeshiva. A Meridik story of Rav Palm, Sechatzadik of Kaddish Lavracha. Meridik story. One time, this was also the 1950s, Rav Palm came home, and he had three boys. One of them is this Rebbe Aaron Palm yeshiva. He came home. He found a $5 bill of Rav Palm. Rav Palm said, no. The kids got so excited. One was buying a Monopoly game. One was buying something else. They were all busy already. What they're planning to do with the $5? Let's get the Zayim. What's going to be the $5? What's going to be over here? I said, hold on. Rav Palm said, after the orders were coming in, which item to buy? Slow down. He took the $5. He put it down on his dresser. And he said, Kindlech, we're going to leave it there for a while. Right now, somebody out there is having a lot of pain, a lot of tsar. They lost $5. A lot of money. $100 for sure in those days. Asach Yelt. You can't enjoy when somebody else is hurting. That's why the Palm children are princes. That's why Rav Palm was a prince, and his Rebbe Tzvi Elias Shalom was a prince, and they are princes. What a lesson in chinuch! What an invaluable lesson in chinuch he gave his children. He found money. I don't see that today. Chazestish, you kick them something. I found something. You can't. No. Somebody's hurting right now. You have to think. You have to put your head to work, and teach your children midos. If you teach them this type of midos, I promise you they'll be obedient. It goes together. If you teach them character, how to be a mensch, and you know they love them, you'll be able to give them musa, you'll be able to give them techacha, you'll be able to give them rebuke, you'll be able to do everything for them. The yisayid is going to be that they see you care about them, about people in general. Here's Rav Palm comes home. An opportunity that he took advantage of. He took a very, very quick opportunity. Let me ask you a question, Rabbi Yisrael. I know what it's like. Attitude tamim. You want kids to be nice to people. Someone kid tells me in yeshiva. Now, I can understand certain neighbors in our area, there's mishalachim coming all day long on a Sunday. It's not easy, and I'm older during the week at night. They come very often at night. And if you want to have a few peaceful moments in your own house, it could be very, very difficult. It could be hard. But a kid tells me, my father takes care of mishalachim very easily. So what does he do? We have a mail slot in our front door. We have a mail slot in our front door. And he comes, $1 out the door, he gets rid of him like that. Now, I'm not Mekana, having your house 25 people on a Sunday, which is a common thing in our area. I'm sure you have it in Brooklyn also. It's a common thing. It's not easy. But what lesson is your child having from that? What lesson is your child having from that? He will lose his respect for people. You want to have a happy child? Don't make him see things that are not nice. Be it to freed the child. And I'll get into it a little bit more as we go on. Children with their klal, which I think is very, very, very critical. They want to please. Children want to be recognized. They want to please you. They want to show you. They want. You'll see little kids, especially. We're talking about how to raise children. Even though I see a lot of people here, our grandparents here in this room, but so it's grandchildren. They want to please you. They want to please you. They want to make you feel good. They need your recognition. You know what you buy with your recognition? It's lav dafka that you have to give them something. By you recognizing them for what they're doing, they enjoy it. They love it. They're very, very tzufriden about it. And it'll pay tremendous rewards. I want to hear what it means growing up. And I didn't get to my nose yet. We'll get a little bit later, but I'll fill it in. I want to go back to my mother, Alashon, for a few moments. I want to show what it means not to have dollars. Because you think everything's money, everything's geld. You have to please them. I don't think my entire life, myself and my siblings. Again, I'm not here to talk about my mother, Dafka, but I'll give you an idea. She was my mechanech. How to be mechanech, if I have any shachas to it at all, was from her. I don't think in all our lives any of us had a new shirt, a new pair of pants. It was hand-me-downs our entire life. So much so, I won't use the real name, that kids, I'm older label, would come out. So kids would call me, "Hi, Goldberg," because I was wearing Goldberg's pants and Goldberg's shirt. We didn't have. Never had it. Hi, Goldberg, whatever the name was. I don't say the name because it's an obvious name. Grew up in Williamsburg, I don't even know who it was. Hand-me-downs our entire life. We didn't know better. We were the happiest guys in the world. My mother was not well a lot. She was sick a lot. There was no air conditioning in my house. It's hard to explain today's day and age. Some of them, there's no air conditioning. There was no air conditioning in the house. Bekitsa, she was not well, and the doctor said to her, she should sleep in a room that has an air conditioner in it. It's kedai. Now, where do you buy an air conditioner? From what, brother, do you buy an air conditioner? Now, I was very happy about it because I was my mother's roommate for 7 years myself. So it was terrific. She was my best friend, sort of, for 7 years. So ended up being in my room. What do? We had to chip in. So I delivered meat for a butcher. I went around delivering meat one time for a butcher to get a dime of delivery. I was so happy I could do this for my mother. Now, why? Because I know my mother will be pleased. She'll be tefreden with me. She'll be happy with me. So she could have an ignition. Nothing in the house. We had nothing to play with outside. A glove. Today, a kid without a baseball glove. Rechman al-Islam. It's a churban, a bat, and a glove. We were lucky if we got our old mother's broomstick and played stickball with it. That's all. You played sewers. One sewer was a single, two singles was a double, and then a triple, and four sewers, you were a liar. Whatever it was. Didn't happen. But anyways, so you played. That's what you played. We got a penny, literally a penny a day, collected it to buy a Spalding ball to play ball. And we were the happiest kids in the world. I'm not Megazim. That is just my father was Nifta. Growing up without anything, because there was a tremendous amount of Simcha Sachaim in the home. Simcha Sachaim in the home that didn't stop for a second. Constant Simcha Sachaim in the home that be happy with what you have. And we got those lessons on a daily basis. I want to tell you an interesting thing that once happened with her. I could really stand there a separate shmooze by itself, a separate speech for itself to tell you all about. This was the gemois we saw in our home, which you could do in your own homes. Remember one time, if I'm offending anybody's sensibilities, and please Michael me, remember one time with the story. I remember one time, I used to go visit my mother every Friday. I used to go to New York. Also, when I lived in Flatbush, I was able to go very often to her. So I used to visit my mother. Yeah, well, two, three times a week at night, late at night, she's up very, very late. But Fridays was with the kids also, even in the short winter days, I'd pile the kids into my car, and we'd make an asiyah, we'd make a trip, and we would go to Flatbush. Potato kugel, wonderful, ababa, ababi, potato kugel. And the kids would go upstairs to play my sister, Lara Shalom's toys. Chaim Epstein lived upstairs, she lived downstairs, and it was a wonderful time for my kids. But the lessons you have in your house, Rabbi Yisai, the lessons you have, and I'm telling you to look for those aces. You don't got to be Eloyim, Rabbi Yisai. It's every second taking opportunity. So what happened every Friday? The kids went upstairs to play. They went upstairs to play. And when it was time, I sat with my mother for an hour and a half, whatever it was, in the summer a little bit longer. And there was time to round them up. I said, Kindlech, let's go. Kindlech, time to go. And what they do automatically, the kids were then, I was 8, 4, 6, 10, 8, 6, and 4, what can I hire? And they lined up to give my mother a kiss. Good Shabbos. They came downstairs from upstairs after playing. My mother says, Yankel, Geres, go out with the kids, not now. I looked at her a little bit. This was, kids all knew. Go over to Bubby, give her a kiss, thank her for the potato kugel. Whatever, the normal things you do when you're with a grandmother. Yankel, Geres. Now, no cell phones. I was ice mensch. She's like almost chasing me out of the house. She said it nicely. Yankel, yes, Geres, Go out now, Yankel. Take Nem the Kindlech and go. We got into the car. I couldn't wait to get home to ask her, Mommy, what was wrong? What was wrong? What's this given? So she says to so I got home. I said, Ma, what happened? What happened? It's not like you. The kids, it's a special moment for the kids. When they said goodbye to you, it was wonderful. He says, yeah, you didn't see. I was talking to Reizel Hatachnishkin Kinder, Muchaba Karbin. Reizel Hatachnishkin Kinder. The kids are going to line up. Give me a kiss. What is she going to be thinking in her head? I thought you'd leave. Simple. Because she thought. She was mechaneches every second of every day. I was already married, Baruch Hashem, with children living in Far Rockaway. Big macha myself. No, she gave me a chinuch. You got to be careful. You can hurt feelings like that. And the kids got a lesson. I called them in right away, all the kids. I said, you know what just happened, Kindle? Now one was 10, one was 8, young. So kids care at that age. You know, nothing really bothers them. But I told them a lesson. They never forgot it. My kids never, ever forgot that particular visit, that they couldn't give Bubby a kiss because Razel was sitting there, and Razel has no children, Rahman al-Litzan. So they couldn't give Bubby a kiss. They never forgot it. Ever, ever forgot it. And they became better people, hopefully, because of it. This is what it means, chinuch, grabbing opportunities every single second, of every single chance that you have. Yelling is a no-no, Rabbi say. What do you get from that yelling? Yelling, but I tell you why, patching always bothers me a little bit. Patching sometimes, when we're in a bad mood, we patch them. It's not dafka, the child deserves a patch. Why do you have to give a patch once in a while? I'm not saying, I don't want to go out here, but you know, Ben said, can you give me a patch? Why do I have to give him a, I'm going to give him a patch, I'm going to give him a patch. You don't have to dafka. And you got to make sure if you give that patch, it's not because you're in a bad mood, because something happened to you at work. You're giving the patch because the child deserved the patch. Hin ni muchen muzuman l'kayim mitzvahs patchen. L'kayim mitzvahs chinuch. L'kayim mitzvahs I take care of my kids. Nu mechateisa. But if you lose yourself with children, if you smack them around, as happens unfortunately even in today's day and age with parents, we've got to deal with these things. All of us have to deal with it at times. It's just the wrong thing. There's no reason for yelling at children. There's no reason to yell at them. What are you gaining by yelling? It shows that you're losing yourself. You can't lose yourself in front of your children. Now, there are times when there are exceptions to everything I'm going to speak about tonight, or that I spoke about. There are times when there are exceptions. There are exceptions. But generally speaking, yelling is a mitzvah not to yell. Benachas, benachas nishmoin, calmly, nicely, by telling you, by speaking to them nicely. Now, I'm all machzach. You got to stop a kid from fighting with his brother, right? With a sibling, which happens. Kids are going to fight. Doesn't maybe in yours. My ass, it happens. It happens once in a while. Nishkeferelach. Okay. But screaming and yelling b'chlal in a way of teaching them punishments is not a good zach. We have parents, very often we as parents, expect our children to have a karas ha'tayv to us. We expect our children to have a karas ha'tayv to us. You know, I just did for you. I'm your father. I just did for you. Aren't you makitayv? No. No, kids do not understand about what age. When they're getting 12, 13 years old already, they want to please you, yes. They want to please you. Everyone wants a story before I forget. It's an interesting story. I should remember this fascinating story. You know, I used to work at a camp. I still go there, but I'm only there for Shabbos. But I used to work in a camp, and one time late at night, you know, the kids don't have laundry, you know, laundromats, so they have to have laundry days, and a kid comes knocking at my door at 12 o'clock at night, a boy from our yeshiva. And he says to me, his name is Maishi Selig. He's a chashvin yingaman today. He lives in Flatbush, yeah. And I told over the story a number of times in Far Rockaway, but this I told over in Brooklyn, that is Chaim Berlin Talmud. He came back at my door, he was 11 years old. He must be today, gotta be at least in his 40s, already, low 40s. But the story rings in my head. That's just happening, it made an impact on me. Shows you how kids want to please. Now, this is about me, this is obviously the child. 12:30 at night, he knocks on my door. I said, Maishi, what's wrong? He says, he hands me his shirt. Could you wash this out in the laundry tonight? If your wife's doing a wash, whatever, we had our own machine in the bungalow. So I said, yeah, but tell me, you don't have any other laundry? I know they always get back to laundry on Friday. You know, it goes on a visiting day before visiting camps. Well, the laundry comes back, all the toothpaste is spilled out. Everything is prepared. The parents should see that everything is wonderful. So, Hustak, you're doing laundry. Well, what's the issue over here? Zakta Mir, but this is my mother's favorite shirt. I want my mother, when she comes off the bus, come to the car, whatever, she comes in New York, the first thing she sees me wearing the shirt that she likes the most. Kids want to please you. Kids want to please you. And therefore, don't worry about them. They're fine. That curse table will come later if you have a good relationship with them. Don't demand a curse table from them. Kids should never be afraid of their parents. Fear is not something you want to put into kids. Yes, you want to teach them discipline. You have to be afraid of doing certain things. There's a big chiluk between doing certain things and fearing their parents. There's a chiluk between fearing their parents, being afraid of their parents, and there's a chiluk between fearing the item or the person, the chefs or the gavra. They can never, ever, ever be afraid of the gavra, meaning the father or the mother. They have to be afraid of doing an avla. That's what you have to teach your children. And no fear is it's very, very important. Another thing that is very, very, to me, it's very yisoid. I went through a number of no's there. We'll get some yeses also. I mean, not everything's bad, but it's all really one topic. It is one fine string that runs through. One string runs through the entire thing we're speaking about tonight. Pick your fights. Now, there's no rhyme or reason this is certainly sensitive to people. It has to be. There's no room like that. Ain't biased today, Rahman al-Islam, Asher, ain't sham something, and a brother with a child going off to Derek Rahman al-Islam. By the way, 95% of them come back. You should know that. Really, they do. Don't be afraid of it. You have to discipline. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with disciplining. They come back. They come back. 90-95% of them. That could be maybe the Talmud risk. You know, a parent once came in to register a kid in the yeshiva. Again, topic to topic, I'd be careful there. And he says to me, he wants to talk to me. I don't see the people coming in. But this parent has to see me. I want to know one thing. He's a four-year-old child coming to kindergarten. Is my kid going to go to Brisk when he finishes here in this yeshiva? I guarantee you the one place this kid will not go is Brisk. He's hearing a Brisk in his crib, you understand? He's not going to end up going there because criticizing children, don't pick your fights. Don't make demands on them that have to be. Be very, very nizzard. Be very, very careful. I call it grace. Don't keep on picking on your children when they're not black and white zachem. Kids do not understand grace. Sometimes first you're wrong. I want to give you shalom. You're going to 1,000 of shalom over here, but pick on them on something that you know they deserve to be picked on. You have to. You feel they're doing an avla? Criticize for the avla. But it's not a mitzvah to criticize for an avla that might not be an avla. I'm not saying it's a mitzvah. But lav dafka's an avla, lav dafka's a bad thing. It's very, very important to pick what you're going to give your children a hard time. If you have to give them a hard time because you're upset with them, pick the right thing. Don't pick gray areas. Not a good zachen. Kvetching in front of children. You want a child to kvetch? My kid's such a kvetch. You know why? Because you kvetch all day long. They don't really care. 10-year-old child. You see, we're talking about chinuch. This broad chinuch for young teenagers, chinuch for young children, chinuch for older teenagers. Chinuch has a wide, broad spectrum. But at least these are general rules that one should be careful with, certainly, is there are parents who don't make it well in Parnassah. You know, Ramesha writes about it in two places. Ramesha the Chatzadik, Bekadosh Levracha. In two places, Darash Ramesha, he writes about this topic. Famous story of Ramesha that he said it the first time at Ramesha Scheinemann's grandfather's Levaya. It's a famous story. I'm going to repeat it anyways for a moment. The Ramesha Scheinemann's grandfather... His son is Ramesha Scheinemann's father. I think he's Lichter Stark, Rabbi Scheinemann. He's a Rabbi and father. I'm not mentioning his name, but there are a lot of children. Canary. The Scheinemann family is a very, very large family. They grew up in Washington D.C. and all nine children in the 1920s, all nine children have from mishpachas completely. Everybody's from the mishpachas, which is extraordinary. Washington D.C. They one time, this is an anecdotal thing. They were once playing with their tzitzis, wearing the tzitzis on a lawn in Washington D.C. and someone came out to them and said, what are these strings all about? This is where they grew up. And they said, they explained it's something to remember, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the President Coolidge at that time says to them, President Coolidge said, nice thing, never forget it. They grew up in Washington, D.C., right around the White House. They were playing Ramesh on the lawn of the White House. Imagine today playing the lawn of the White House. They'll shoot you if you play on the lawn of the White House. Whatever it was, Bekitsa. So this is so he moved to New York. He was crossing the street on the Lower East Side. And he was hit by a car, Rahman al-Islam. And as Levi Ramesha spoke, Ramesha said, this is the famous line that Ramesha said, and he says it in the Sefer twice, I believe once is in Yitzavim, he says it twice, this Yisaidi says it. You know why he says that this Scheinemann, Peretz, was there a Peretz Scheinemann? Well, this Zayder, Peretz Scheinemann, all his kids grew up where they grew up. They never heard the Americana arguments, the Shveretz Zaynayit. They never heard the Americana argument, the Taina, oh, it's so difficult to be a Jew in America. It was hard. You speak to people, I had uncles who told me, great uncle, my wife's uncles who told me over that, what it was like. What it was like getting parnasa. You don't come in on Saturday, you don't come in on Monday. It was hard. So people kvetched about it. And why kvetch about parnasa to children? They don't care. Your 7-year-old doesn't care if you had a hard day at work. Your 9-year-old doesn't care. Even your 11-year-old doesn't care. They're busy with their own games and their toys and their zachen. Is that a tain on them? No. That's what kids are brought up. Kids got to grow up at a simcha dikah home. They got to be surrounded by an avir of simcha, of tefridengeit. I go back to my mother. My mother was an almana for 30 years. During those 30 years, she was an almana. She didn't forget about my father for 1 minute of one day, ever. And yet, we had simcha all around us. She didn't show us. Wherever we came into the house, there was simcha zachayim around the home. Who didn't love coming into our home? And she was an almana, moving amila, completely, with every very inzicht. She was living with my mother, with my father when she was nifta 16 years ago. Completely, completely. How is that with simcha? No stira whatsoever. Not a steer of the simcha whatsoever. There was simcha in the shtub at all times. There was times of crisis. There were times of problems. There were times there wasn't any money to pay a bill. There were times, so she had to take care of it. But not in a way of kvetching to the children. The children saw simcha at all times, simcha sachayim at all times. Zufriedenkeit, menschlichkeit. Parents, forgive me, if your child doesn't get 100 on a test, it's not important. Not important. There are parents, now when I speak to you about parents, I'm not only thinking of this is the Tarchi Terror parents. Most of our parents are really wonderful. A lot of them, they're watching on the screen, they're all wonderful. All the parents are wonderful, but there are a few here and there. Anyways, marks, who cares? There are parents who will go to their children. I hear this constantly wherever I go. You didn't get 100, kid wants to 95, you didn't get 100. Yo, what are you talking about? You want your kid to be a healthy child, a normal child. You could demand excellence. Nothing wrong. You got to learn when you learn. You got to learn. You got to learn with your father. You got to learn with your brother. You got to learn. You got to be. You could demand excellence. Yes, and you have to demand excellence. You want your kid to grow up to be very, very strong. To be 100 on a test, that's the way you measure success. There are strong Talmidim. There are weaker Talmidim. There are kids who try very hard and can't get 100 if there are chronos of those children. There are good Rebbeim out there who make sure that a kid who tries very hard gets his hundreds. But you as a parent have to just encourage your children. If he's slacking off, he's not learning, he's not trying, he's not working, you have a right to tell him. Got to work to get a good mark. But not because you want to see your son get the 100 or the A+, or the Aleph plus, whatever the case might be. No masifta, no place, any yeshiva or yeshiva will look at infants on the marks to look at what the kid wants to do with his life. Does the kid want to be? Does the kid will? I will ya, I will nicht. Some parents have a tendency. Again, I'm going through different inyanim, but I want to hop around whatever I can in the 55 minutes that I have. Some people tend to talk to others about their negativity, negatively about their children. It comes back to the kids. Bungalow colonies are a favorite place for that. People sit around, and they shmooze, and they talk. So I'm not even talking about Lashon Hara, which is Asa Gomer. Lashon Hara is not allowed to talk anywhere and everywhere. If I stay, it's not allowed to talk anywhere, Lashon Hara. But people sit around. You know, my kid did A, B, and C. Your kid is 8 years old. He finds out later. We have that commonly. My mother told this neighbor that it did something wrong. We have that all the time, all over. There's no rules of chinuch happening in one town, other towns. It's in Brooklyn, it's in Queens, it's in Albany, it's anywhere you want. People talk freely. They want to confess, they want to complain. They complain to a neighbor. It comes back to the neighbor, tells the child, you know what Chaim will do today? You know, and Shmuel runs and tells Chaim, you know what your mother told my mother? Blah, 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 blah. Why? Be careful. You want to develop in your children no talking down to kids, b'chlal. It's not a mitzvah. Talking down is not a mitzvah. You could talk to kids. I'm not trying. Rabbi Pinter sitting here. I see him. I see Rabbi Nosson Zvi Finkel. People are speaking about Rabbi Nosson Zvi Finkel. I have it here. So it's not because he's sitting at that. But I see him. I see Rabbi Nosson Zvi Finkel. Because he was Yad Yamina of Rabbi Nosson Zvi. So it's out of a Kershtel Bracha. The Sima Shas, whoever didn't hear it, fans rush it with something Leila, how he described. But I'll tell you an akuda that I felt always what I was excited about. I used to take my kids to see him all the time, my own children. Now, children means grandchildren at this stage. Rech Hashem, we are in Harbis, in Santigyar. He talked to a child no different than he talked to an adult. Had a murder of their hearts for little kids. The stories are, it's unbelievable how he spoke to little children. He loved people. He loved, when you love people and you love humanity, you're going to talk to them nicely. Doesn't matter if that kid's something. Get out of here. Throw him out of the shul. Hey, make a noise. Throw him out of the shul. I love the debates. Bring kids to shul. Bring the kids to shul. Treat kids like they deserve to be treated nicely. You want your kids to be nice. Rav Zvi was verstanden. Because he was a mechanech and every cell and every bone of his body was a mechanech. So he understood exactly how you have to speak to children. And there's good verstanden, Rav Zvi. He understood very, very well. And that's why when a kid walked in, he didn't see sort of God Ladar walking in. When a child walked into the room, he saw the God Ladar. Because you talk to a child nicely. No such thing. I remember one time. You can't imagine this today. Today's day and age. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky lived in Williamsburg. Where I grew up. Three bachim in the 8th grade, I one of them, were big machas. We decided something is bothering us about Terev Adas. And we had a legitimate taina. Something bothered us very much. And no one was listening to us. You know, in those days, the kids, forget about it. You slammed the door on you. It wasn't like today. My father was a little bit of a... ahead of his times, my father, Cornel Avrocha. He was a little bit ahead of his times. I got to tell you a nice story. I remember a few days ago. I'm sorry. I'll go back once again. There's a gentleman in Washington Heights, a very chashuv rabbi, lives in Riverdale now, Mo Marks. Good guy, Mo Marks, no? Momox told me once, Momox is a wonderful, wonderful person. He's a grandparent now, yeshiva. He told me that my father saved his life as a Ben Torah till today, as Erlich Yid. What happened? He says that his father, Momox's father, decided to send him to Torah V'das when he's going into seventh grade. With his brother, I think. Is his brother, yeah, younger than him, a year older, I don't remember. And they're both going to Torah V'das. They dreaded the day. Traveling from Washington Heights. When we went to Torah V'das, that was Kamat Yeshiva that everybody went to. There were 2,000 Talmidim in Torah V'das. It was a humongous yeshiva. And people traveled from Far Rockaway, from Washington Heights. They're from all over. Crown Heights, the Chavkiret. And the Marx children were told by their father, you're going to Torah V'das. It meant getting on the A train till West 4th Street, switching to the D train in those days, to the F train, and then taking the J train. Every day, an hour and a half each way. They dreaded it. We all traveled the subways. I did it for 7 years as a bachur when I was home with my mother. I never was in a dormitory in my life, everybody say. Greatest 7 years of my life. I'm married now. I shouldn't say that. No, you're careful. No. I've had wonderful years. I used to say when I grew up, those 7 years, when I thought all my friends have it best because they're in the dormitory having a good time. At night is the best time. I used to leave the yeshiva every night, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, schlep on the trains back. And I'm telling you that if I have derech eretz for my wife today, it's because I lived with my mother for 7 years. So those 7 years taught me what I thought, what I meant to say before, was I thought that I didn't have, when I got married, I figured it out. Who did I have for 7 years? What a wonderful, wonderful 7 years. So Momox tells me that he didn't want to go, but he went. First day he comes to Torah V'das, fine, nice. Second day, the train is delayed by 45 minutes. Oh no, the principal's going to kill us. He's going to kill us. 45 minutes late. It's hard to believe today, you know, you look back at the stories then. The kid came late today. I said, hello, give me a late note. You know, in those days, you were afraid of the principal. Okay. The kids, they're coming, walking in trepidation, he told me, walking from the south, from the train on Marcy Avenue in Williamsburg to Torah V'das on South 8th Street, the old Masifta. They're coming around the bend on Taylor Street and Bedford Avenue. They're walking up the steps. Sure enough, who opens the door at the top of the steps? This long staircase, my father. Oh, no. They're walking up the steps. Probably, he says to them, the train was late, no? Train was delayed in coming, no? He says, yeah. Really? So that means you didn't eat breakfast yet, did you? They ate breakfast in yeshiva. No. So come into my office. He sits down by his desk, two chairs, takes out a box of cereal, a container of milk, two bowls, no paper in those days, two bowls, cereal, now go to class. He ate already, Baruch Hashem. He told me that changed his life. He told me his entire attitude to Torah completely changed over the other again. So in those days, it was something that was unusual in those days. Anyway, so we felt as a problem. We're going to go visit Yaakov Kamenetsky in his house on a Shabbos. Two other Bachram, Maisha Gordon, I remember who the third one was. Three of us, we're going to go visit Yaakov Kamenetsky. We walked into the house. You know, Yaakov Kamenetsky says to us, he says, we walked in, good Shabbos, always so nice, so sweet. What a gentleman he was. I mean, he says to his wife, his Rebbetzin, Allah Shalom, he says, drei Kinder sind in der Blengarois, seven layer cake and Pepsi Cola. Those years, Coke was trafe. Only drank Pepsi Cola. So bring us Pepsi Cola and seven layer cake. Made us feel, you treat a kid nicely. Rav Tzvi was holy in that way. He treated children nicely. That's why he loved people. When you love people, you treat them well. You love your kids. You love your grandchildren. You love your children. Be kind to them. Be nice to them. Doesn't mean don't have discipline. Doesn't mean I'm only have to give him a gesunte hate and I think that's a patch. Most of the way it should be. Avada. But be kind to them. One time, Rabbi Yaakov used to visit my parents. Colonel Mavrach used to visit Rabbi Yaakov in his house. Rabbi Yaakov used to visit us. He used to take out a walk with his rabbi, and he'd come over to the house. It was a very, very brachish, very close family relationship. Now, my sister, Elisha, and I had this argument about it. I heard this from my mother. She says it was by her. I'm not sure. I'll leave it my version of the story, but it certainly happened, the story. So one time, Rabbi Yaakov goes over Friday night, and my mother was holding one of the little kids, probably me, and on her lap. And she went ahead, she put out some chocolates on the table. Tea, little tiny chocolates, whatever. And one of us, like I said, probably me, squirted out of her hand, my mother, and jumped onto the table to grab the chocolates. 2-year-old kid. My mother was appalled. She says, stop, Yaakov, stop! Rabbi Yaakov says, stop. Never give them mussar about something they won't do when they're 20 years old. I promise you, sister and mother, when he's 20 years old, he won't do that. What if he's a child? What's veis a kind? Now today you'd say it's be'er chinuch. So I took a lesson from that. Interesting lesson. Shabbos, So I daven in yeshiva, and I discuss it. Everybody goes around to say good Shabbos to the Rosh Yeshiva. So people will get in the light with their kids, and you go, I get very upset. Well, the little kids give me their left hand to shake. And they right away say, no, give the other hand. Give the other hand, the right hand. Never. I tell him always, never. When he's 10 years old, he'll know right from left. The kid gets upset. He thinks he's being criticized. You're telling him off. It's not a mitzvah. That's what Yaakov Kaminsky said to my mother. You don't have to tell my mother, forbid if Yaakov Kaminsky's sitting there. Of course, she did the right thing by reacting. I said, don't. It's not a mitzvah. Never, ever tolerate chutzpah. If you tolerate chutzpah, the kid will be a mechutzif. If you don't have the proper, now everything we're talking about, of course, the greatest way of giving midas, of course, the greatest way of teaching midas, Rabbi Yisai, is by example. I'm not even getting into that tonight because that's the obvious number one area of chinuch to make for happy children, disciplined children together, whatever the title says over there. The greatest way is, of course, having the proper respect and yourself. It's important. I sit by a chasana, I'm all, and the waiter doesn't serve somebody. And you see, Elohi is going screaming at the waiter. Your kids are going to be there, heretic, and not chutzpahic, and nice if you're going to scream at waiters. You're not embarrassed them all on a plane. You said people talk to the flight attendants. You want your kids to be nice. I bet that number one has to be like that over there. But chutzpah, you can have, so what do you do? I can't go into the modes of discipline. The greatest thing, of course, you have to do it again and again and again, is send the kid into his room until he comes out and he says, it works after a while, but the kid's screaming and yelling in there. Oh, the shrine. Into your room right now. You drag him into the room. You have to. The kid has to be punished. Put him into his room. But I'm getting, there's all kinds of ways you can discipline. I'm not getting into that right now. The one thing that cannot be tolerated is chutzpah. Never tolerate chutzpah. Don't make shviga jokes. Don't make shviga jokes. I'm grateful for my wife till today. Richard Schubach doesn't grow up making, I'll say, Polish jokes. Unfortunately, it changed to other ethics. I don't want to get into that right now. But she never allowed it, because kids don't grow up. Verzak, my mother, Lashon, told me a story once, which I'll never, ever forget. It was drilled into me. In the early 1940s, she went around America trying to make these shackles in other parts of the country, Detroit, others. One time she went down south somewhere by bus. It was in the Yankel. I remember she told me the story. I didn't believe what I saw. What did she see? She got on a bus going down south. Said all colored people go to the back of the bus. Why? Why did she? She wouldn't notice it. She didn't read English well. One night she knew seven languages fluently. The one night she didn't learn in Poland when she was raised was English. So she learned it over here as English, as the ESL, English as a second language, in the Eastern District High School. She didn't read English well then, she told me. She got onto the bus and she sees all the blacks are in the back of the bus, squeezed in together. And in the front, very comfortable, very relaxed, no problem at all. So she said to a person sitting there, what's going on in this bus? Look at the back of the bus. She witnessed it. Look at the front of the bus. So the lady says, what, don't you know those colored sit in the back of the bus? My mother told me this was the lesson she gave me from a trip to build a Meshakov down south. She used to mention about it. She must have said it with us many times to us kids. You want your children to be nice. You're going to make Schwarzer jokes, pardon me. You're going to make Polish jokes, pardon me. You make Schwieger jokes, pardon me. It doesn't work. That my wife is more makpan than me, and I'm thankful for it. I'm grateful. I'm the yeshiva bach. I came out of yeshiva. Of course you make such jokes. Wrong. Because kids don't know how to differentiate when they're young. They get older, they come with their own chachmadika jokes. But whatever it is, be very, very nizzer of what kind of jokes you make. Look at the clock. Don't lie, of course not. Rabbi said, don't lie. You can't lie. If you lie, children are going to become liars. That's all. Nothing to talk about. I don't remember my parents ever telling me to go under the turnstile or say you're 5 years old, so you shouldn't have to pay the admission to the park. It doesn't work. It's a few dollars. What are you saving? Kids should lie. It's a such, I don't have to say this. I push the Zachar, I say. If you're going to lie, your kids are going to lie. Plain and simple. Don't do that. Don't fetch about Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit Zachar may bother you a little bit. I said before, Preparis Scheinemann ever complained about anything. It's all Yiddishkeit, it's hard. Be very, very careful. I want to go to a few yes things that I think are very, very important. There's more here. Kids need time, Rabbi Say. They need your time. I'm talking out to the men particularly. The women give them time. The women are terrific. I find the mothers to be ice to be gemel. The fathers come home from work, they're exhausted, they had a hard day at work. They want your time. Unfortunately, the only time fathers give time to their kids very often is they get divorced. Now, divorce is a necessity sometimes. But those fathers know they don't have the kids all week long, so they give them time. They give more time to their kids than regular fathers. Regular fathers means those who are married. Don't waste those precious years. What you could do with your son, give them time and be patient with them. They want to talk to you. You want them to love you. You want them to have their heritage for you. You want them to be obedient. If you're not going to give them time, you're not going to be nice to them, they're going to run away. Later on, you'll only have yourself to blame. You must be kind. We spoke about it a lot. But you have to give them time, plain old-fashioned time. Listen to them. I want to tell you a story that was a lesson to me in my very early years in the yeshiva. That you have to look beyond. So one time I'm coming outside the yeshiva, there's like a little banister over the yeshiva. I see this kid, a fifth grader, sitting there, and he looked very forlorn. He looked tzabrachan. He wasn't happy. I said, Avi. I use names, of course, to Avi. What's wrong? Nah, Rebbe, no. Avi. Finally, I don't have a bike. We're having a bike-a-thon. Bike-a-thon is where we go down Reed's Lane, we close up the street over there, it's the main street in Far Rockaway. And the kids raise money for the yeshiva, and they get prizes, and they invite us, so there's an excitement. Whoever's in charge of the whole thing in the yeshiva goes around, and he's telling everybody to go out there, you know, to rah-rah-rah, his bumbah, hit your wagon to a star. Come on, it's Givaldi Gazach to do, and all the kids are talking about how many laps they're going to do, and this kid's talking about how many laps I'm going to do. They're all talking laps. Chavishkin bike. Today it's hard to believe. Who doesn't have a bike today? Plenty of kids, by the way. I'll bring you right in a minute. The kids are, so, I don't have a bike. So, of course, right away we got to work. This is a few days before the bike-a-thon. We lent the bike for the kid. But since then, there's a person in yeshiva who b'kviyos asks around who doesn't have a bike, and there are plenty of kids. And he made it his business now to make sure. So who would have dreamed, I didn't dream of it, that this kid is sitting 3-4 days, but if you're close to your kid, then you're talking to your kid. Could be this kid was afraid to say to his parents. They didn't want him to spend money for him, whatever the case might be. Listen to them. The Velt has a famous word, nishkenuk tzeheren, darvder heren. Hearing does not mean only to listen. It means to really, really hear what's going on in the kishka of that child, what's really bothering him. Give them time. Another thing that's very, very important is fragin and under mention, what I say. The word fragin, I always say, does not exist in the English dictionary. I heard now the new Hebrew dictionary is at Israel. The word fragin made is a Hebrew word. There is no such word in English. Do not begrudge. It's two negatives. Maybe. Forgiving means you hear somebody else has something good going on for him. Be happy for him. 95% of our kina are covered by taiva. It's all kina. I need a new car. You don't know, it's a very interesting thing. As soon as somebody, new car becomes in vogue, the whole block has that car. Today it's all gray Odysseys and Hondas, whatever it is, it is. But people always need what the other guy has. Fragin yanim. You want your kids to have good midas, be happy children. Don't always need what you don't have. It's not the money. I keep saying it again and again. It's not the geld. Be happy with sameach b'chalkai. I'm thrilled with what we have. And I go back to my mother again and again, Rabbi Say. We had zero. Zilch. Mom is zero. And we were happy kids, I think. Because she taught us to be happy. Now you say to us again and again. Never, if you lost something, we come home upset, crying, I lost this, I lost that. Never, ever cry, which was a lesson she gave us, of course, because that's something you could replace with money. And we didn't have any money to speak of, right? But so what? Something that you could replace with money, that you never, ever cry about. So you got to be very, very careful before you go ahead and get upset and uptight about guilt. You know, fragin yanams, oh, yana hopin. Your kids, this key, by the way, fraginin, by the way, I left it at the end. Part two will be next year, maybe, Mr. Shem. Or both shouldn't hold me to that. But fraginin is a very big key. It really is. It's a very, very big key to... let me say one more thing, I mean, before we go to questions. But open your homes. Let kids see that your homes are wide open. I'm not saying everything with measured everything, you have to do with chachma, with sechel, you can't open the doors to the whole world, of course. There's a pasuk, I'm going to Yom Tovim now. In Parshas Emor, which we're going to lay in on all Yom Tovim, I mean, talking about Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, it speaks about the Parshas Yom Tovim over there. So in Perek Chav Gimel, begins with Perek Chav Pasuk Aleph, there's 44 pasuk in Perek Chav Gimel. So the first it speaks about Shabbos, 3 pasukim, then it speaks about Pesach, then about the cutting of the Eimer and Sfira, and then speaks about Shavuos, and then there's a pause of one pasuk. But the Chav Beis, which is midway, really. 44 could be 22 or 23. Anyway, you want to look at it. But the pasuk Chav Beis is a pasuk. We'll get to it in a minute. Then comes Rosh Hashanah, then comes Yom Kippur, and then comes Sukkot. Total of 44 psukim. All right? Shmini Atzeres, of course. 44 psukim. What's the other pasuk Chav Beis? When you are harvesting all your products, is before Rosh Hashanah. When you're harvesting, don't forget to give Lekei Chikron Peyer. Don't forget to take care of the Aniyim. Okay? What's it doing here? Rashi has this kasha. In fact, Rashi, Maro Akos, Little Memtor, Rashi gives the Teretz to teach you that whoever gives Lekei Aniyim, Lekei Chikron Peyer, as if he built a Beis HaMikdash, etc. I was thinking maybe even other Teretz. The Rambam says, there's no Yom Tov. There is no Yom Tov if you don't take care of other people, of the Yassim, of the Almana, of the Ani. There's no Yom Tov. He calls it in the Rambam, he calls it a Simchas Akeres. Sa'a Bayich Yom Tov. If all you sit on Yom Tov and you fresh and you eat and you have a jolly good time, you don't take care of the Netzrachim, which is Pashas are A. The biggest bracha in the Torah you have, you want to have good kids? Rabbi Sai, you just learned it. The biggest Pashas, I should have started with that, the Pashas we just learned. Miri Shiva until Thursday, was last week. Shmuel in his Chatzadik Mefesh Lebracha, he says, "Sarach Lagecha Ato Avincha Vitecha Vyadcha Masecha Valei Vyagev Yisrael Amana Shebesharecha." Too fast. "Besamachta Lagecha Ato Avincha Vitecha Vyadcha Masecha." Four of your own, and the Levi and the Ger and the Yisrael Amana Shebesharecha. Zakt Rashi. This is the biggest bracha. You want a bracha for good kids? People run out for brachas all the time. Sagt Rashi, if you do for mine, yeah, I'm sorry, pause before yourself. Hashem kecha ata b'chudah v'ezem echa. Sagt Rashi, Hashem kecha, Sagt Rashi, arba shali k'neged arba shalcha. Bincha, bitcha, v'adcha, v'amasecha is yours. Im ata b'sameyecha shali, ani b'sameyecha shalcha. You want to have happy kids? Rashi says, Chazal. Rashi says, Zok Rashi, Tanchuma. You want to have happy kids? Take care of mine. Who's mine? Zok HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Open up your homes. Erbetach, open up your homes. We always have guests in our house. Now, doesn't mean, I always say to people, don't have both meals sometimes. You want to spend kids, the kids come over with their sheets. They need your time. One meal, yeah, one meal, not. Break it up. One meal, you should have your own kids, spend time with them. The other meal, have the guests. If kids see that you're taking care of the Tzibrachan of people in Klal Yisrael, of the people that need help, you'll bring simcha into your house. It's the biggest bracha in the world. Open up your homes. If you open up your homes, so I think that's why the pasuk's in the middle over here. The pasuk's in the middle of all Yom Tovim. You want Yom Tov. One way. Take care of Yanim. If you take care of Yanim, you'll have Yom Tov. You don't take care of Yanim, you're not going to have a Yom Tov. And we have it last week's parashah also, right? The Torah is maftiach you. I mean, v'sameach your children will be happy people if you will take care of your kids. All right. And generally, we've covered a lot that I wanted to speak about. The biggest thing I is you need Siyat Tishmaya. Never blame yourself. This thing I want to talk about for a minute now. There's Jewish guilt. Unfortunately, you deal with people from across the country with their kids who are leaving the fold and they blame themselves. They did this wrong, they did that wrong. There are exceptions. There is a reason. I don't find the rhyme or reason. You know what the rhyme is, by the way? Most families who have these kids, the other kids are wonderful. One kid is not doing so well. It's not for today's drasha, but I would say one thing. Two things really about it. There's no rhyme or reason. There isn't. Really isn't. Why this kid? Yeah, this kid not. Some kids have different tunas on Efesh. We don't understand it. I was talking to a parent at a wedding on Sunday night. And Mamashki was crying with the Moyes Sholish. They're not bad kids. They really aren't. Can I go on tangent for a moment? I had a machleikus with an argument, a very big Rosh Hashiva. On this topic. You know, old argument. There are people sitting in this room want to bring the kids to our yeshiva. We can't, we have a regular yeshiva, we can think of everybody. But sometimes, Rabbi Yisrael Lefkowitz, Zecharo Livracha, he took care of the girls in this community in Brooklyn. You know that, Rabbi Yisrael. Yisrael Lefkowitz used to call a meeting of all the schools before the new year began, around this time of the year. And he told all the principals around the table, you're taking her. He had the power of Pam behind him. And he had to restore Lefkowitz's perseverance. He made sure this happened. But there's really, these kids, I had a big argument with the Rosh Hashiva. And Chashver Shishiva who said to me, the kids who go off the derech are not good. He used a very strong word to describe them. They're no good. Very shinayim. Because they're hurting their parents so badly, how could they do it? That's what this Rosh Yeshiva said. They're ashamed. I'm sorry for saying it. They're ashamed. They're going to die. How can they do that? They're killing their parents. I said to them, you're wrong. They're overcome with whatever their desires are at that particular time. And we argued vehemently. So I was reading this Halichos of Rav Shach, this farm that his grandson, Rabbi Bergman, or Rosh Bergman, has given out. And there's a story there where a bacher was going to do a shidduch. A bacher was going to do a shidduch with a young lady. A very, very chassid shtub, and he came home to tell his mother. His mother told him that the shidduch is being read, but I don't want the shidduch for you. And the bacher wanted the shidduch very badly. He's a very chassid shidduch. He heard the shidduch was a terrific shidduch, and the mother says shidduch is not for you. Bekitzer, so he said why? Because the girl, has a brother that's off the derech. Ma'aseh shehoya, it's in the sefer Halichas Abayis, I think it's called. Rav Shach, there's two svarim, Halichas HaYeshiva, I think. Halichas is a different name. HaYeshiva is a chaim. I forgot, it's there, it's a whole page and a half of the story. Because it's a very good story. So the Bacha said, why not? Because this girl has a boy off the derech, and it says, Yivdoik Bacha! Before you do shidduch, you have to check up with the brothers. So the Bacha went to Rav Shach, the chassad of Kosh Lebrach, and said to Rav Shach, I want the shidduch, mother's not learning. Your mother is wrong. Mother's not right, the Rav Yisrael Rav Shach, is because Yivdoik Bacha means only on midas. If the brothers have good midas or not. That's it. So the Bacha ran back to his mother and said, Ma, it was not a Cheshire Derech Eretz. I spoke to Rav Shach, and Rav Shach said, it's only a question of midas. You don't check up if the kid is off derech, on derech, off derech, etc., etc. So the mother said, really? The mother went straight to Rav Shach with the young man. It went straight to Rav Shach with the young man. And said to Rav Shach, if it's midas, he's killing his parents. The brother, the girl's brother, you're saying it's not a problem. Yivdek Bacher is only midas. What about his rotten midas that he's killing his parents, killing me? If I would have it, he's killing his parents. How could this bacher is killing his own? This boy, the brother of the girl, is killing his parents. Rav Shach said it has nothing to do with that. They don't think about that. They have a taiva, they have a yetzahara, whatever it is, whatever came into their heads. We don't know why they have it. It could be wonderful bali midas. It's not a steer at all. They could be wonderful kids, but they're killing me. Parents say, how can they do this to me? They're killing me. I'm embarrassed. The kids are chalas Shabbos. He's chalas. How can my son, my daughter, do this to me? So Rav Shach, he's not doing it to you. He's not thinking about you, unfortunately. He's thinking only about what he needs for that moment. And they did the shidduch. That's not a chesaron midas. Unfortunately, wherever you turn today, ain't bias, I mentioned it earlier, don't have your own guilt. Don't do your own. Please. It's not fair to yourself. There's no rhyme, there's no reason. If you want to try to be, kill them with love, even if they go off the derech. The same things we spoke about over here. Not to shepherd them on grace. Don't shepherd them on grace. You'll see. They'll come back. They don't come back. But as a general rule, they will. Everything we spoke about today, how to have anhag and the bias, do this especially with those kids. I can't. He's going to hurt all the other children. It's not true. The children know exactly right from wrong. It's not true. He's going to kill my other kids. They're going to see him. You have a right to ask him that what he's doing wrong, he should do it behind his closed door in his bedroom. You have a right to ask him that. If he's reading something inappropriate, behind his room. But he's going to kill my kids. He won't. The biggest thing for your children will be how you treat your son who's straight or your daughter, chas v'shalom, who's straight. The biggest thing will be if you're nice to them. If you're nice to them, and nice to them, and nice to them, the other kids see that. That's the key to chinuch. Thank you for being a good audience and for listening. Haslach and bracha. Not much time left for questions, right? Go ahead. I don't know all the answers, but I don't know any of the answers.
Okay. Lana said about praising children's grades no matter what they get. How do I motivate a child who can do better and is just happy coasting by? She studies enough to pass and is happy. Is this situation fine? Now, there's a related question. How do parents encourage their children to strive for bigger and better without overwhelming them? Of course, it's not clear if the parents are bigger and better. But
right. It's an overwhelming question, obviously. I mean, the biggest key, by the way, how old is the kid? Does it say? Yeah. I'm a big leader of motivating with prizes. I mean, just don't tell them because I want you to get a good mark. Make it nice for them. Don't you want today they have Baruch Hashem wonderful? Even the older Baruch Hashem, Siyumim, Masechta, to get prizes, Svarim. Motivate them what you have to. If you can't do it any other way, the best thing is to give a shmooze to a child and talk to him. But don't give him a hard time or a bad mark. Just motivate them. I think prizes is a very healthy way. Nothing wrong with that. When I was a little boy, I gave prizes also. Prizes, the Rambam says, you give a shtickel tzuka to a child, you give a sweet to a child. Nothing wrong with that. The best way to motivate is with the carrot, not the stick. Don't use the stick. I can't, it's too long a question to go into right now. Every case is different. The carrot, not the stick.
Okay, now the flip side, this question. It seems to me that the masifta my son goes to is working the boys too hard. There's a seder before shachris as well as a long night seder. It's in yeshiva from 7:30 in the morning till 10:15 at night.
Ooh, what a loaded question.
He gets around 50 minutes for lunch, 40 minutes for supper, so he can't even come out and see the family. I feel the boys need some downtime. How much downtime should my masifta bachar have?
A lot more than he has now. It's the voluntary programs I hear, but sometimes the voluntary programs are so strong, they push so hard, they're new things in yeshivas. I don't have mandatory voluntary programs. So it's very, very difficult for the kid not to do that, but you have to be very, very careful. The Brisker Rav used to say, this is the Brisker Rav I heard from someone reliably, the Brisker Rav used to say, somebody asked the Brisker Rav once, why is it that it's Israel? Nice, I think it doesn't mean, of course, Israel does have, the Rav Yoshevs grow up in it's Israel, I mean, obviously. These people like that, but Mr. used to say, why is it that American kids come to Israel, they're much more behind the Israeli kids? By the time they're 20, the American kids caught up. The line of the Brisker Rav was, not a leich the mensch. Brisker Rav was the godl in Erlichkeit, the Brisker Rav. He said, if you don't let them play when they're young, they'll play when they're old. And you got to be very careful of that. Obviously, these questions are very hard to answer because different cases, different kids, different times. Depends how old the kid is. The kid is older, he can handle more. The kid's younger, you shouldn't pressure him like that.
Question. Being that our children are faced with enormous nisyonos in today's society, many are not being matzliach enough in the limud haTorah for that alone to be the tavlin for the Yetzer Hara, what would you suggest parents and a mechanchim do to help our children and teenagers persevere in the development as bnei Torah and Avdei Hashem?
So a kid who has issues or a kid's stam?
Sounds like
Torah is the key. I have to say that Torah is the key. Torah is everything. Torah is the key to everything. If they become Arangitan and learning, they'll be the biggest thing. But Chesed, obviously, train them in Chesed, not Tov and Emais and Tovim. I think that's there's a lot of opportunity. I'll say it's treif to be a Pirchid leader. I'm already young. I'm in our days. I was a Pirchid leader for 4 years. Yeshua Birnbaum didn't mind. It's hard to believe. I was home. You heard before, I traveled home every night. And I tried to find myself that my father was left. I was a leader for 4 years. Didn't hurt me. Today it's treif. All these things are treif today. But nothing wrong with that. So learning Torah is the ikar, of course. But to get involved in doing for others, you have to be careful. If you're careful, it shouldn't become too gishmak. Because some people get involved in kiruv when they're very young. They won't have enough for themselves first. You have to first learn for yourself to be able to spill over to others.
Question. What you want to do if the kids want to go to ball games, the Yankees, the Mets? You don't want them to go to see all the rowdy in the Yehudim, where the rowdiness that goes on there. Where your son and his friends go, where your son's friends go, what should one do?
I would discourage it very much. You have a right to put your foot down on certain things. We went to ball games as kids. You know, everybody says those days was different. It was. Today you can't go into a ballpark. The sneeze is shrekel. The press guy is terrible. The language is terrible. It's not a place for a Jewish child to go. Other kids go. First, find out. You know, kids come home all the time. All the kids, no? All the kids have this. All the kids. Find out. Point out to the kids who don't go to ball games. Point out to the kids that don't have every electronic gadget and tchotchka that comes out of the market. It's not a good idea today to get ball games. It's not a good idea.
Speaking of all the kids and peer pressure, following question. What does the Rosh Shiva say to the following question? Our daughter attends a mainstream Beis Yaakov in Brooklyn. School's led by other people with the good hashkafas. She's in a high school. She has many friends in her class, and the majority of the girls and the friends seem to think it's normal to celebrate birthdays at fancy restaurants, getting their own cell phone with texting, and going to Florida or other expensive trips for midwinter vacation, buying only the top brand of clothing with a famous brand name, no imitations. How can we dissuade our daughter from these practices without isolating her and making her feel that she's
a nabba? That's a mainstream. That's a mainstream Beis Yaakov. We're in trouble. That's a mainstream Beis Yaakov. I want to tell you a story. Not a long story, a short story. My daughter is now married with a baby, Baruch Hashem. She wanted a cell phone. Everybody had a cell phone. Everybody. I said, I'll make you a deal. When everybody has a cell phone in your class, everybody, then you get a cell phone, right? She got a cell phone from me when she was in the middle of the 12th grade. And she went to seminary in Israel. Why? Because until then, not everybody has. In other words, you have a right to say you're different. I don't want you to have all those zachens. It's a very bad thing. There's no question that you're not mechuyev to do all those narishkeiten for your children. If you give them what they need, this really has to do with a lot of the drasha that we spoke about before. Question and answer are a little bit almost unfair because you can't answer each question deserves a long answer. If you give in to all those things you just listed, you want to repeat them again on that list? No? You don't have to.
Birthdays.
No, sorry.
Trips, clothing.
I abhor it. By the way, I talk about yeshiva all the time. We have a regular, normal yeshiva, and I hack about it all the time. You don't need this junk. And I hope that other yeshivas speak about it also. I find it hard to fathom, seriously, I was curious before, that in a mainstream yeshiva, they have what?
Clothing, fancy clothing, the trips to Florida,
birthdays
and restaurants,
cell phones. You don't do all those achan. You do your girls gonna end up crippled. They will. I didn't see the questions.
Yeah. Rashi mentioned seminary. So the question is: does the hanhala of a school have a right to push the girls to only attend seminary in Eretz Yisrael? And should they make them feel guilty about attending seminary?
Hanhala. Who does that should be arrested. If Anhola says that you can only go to Eretz Yisrael, should be arrested. It bankrupts parents. Most girls do what their friends do. So our neighbor, they went to Eretz Yisrael. My daughter went to Eretz Yisrael. BJJ, by the way. Anyway, so, to say only Eretz Yisrael, it's ridiculous. 7 days in America are wonderful. To do that, avla. It's upwards of $20,000 today, I believe, to send a girl to seminary. Yet most people don't have such money. Who does that? It's Narishkeit.
Question. Is it proper for yeshiva to give labels to parallel classes, whether it be an Aleph class for the top students and the base class for the weaker students? Is it better to mix them so the weaker ones have a role model to learn from?
That's a very, very, deserves a whole long evening, tracking or not. The problem with tracking is first of all, they shouldn't be labeled, of course not, but the kids are not stupid. Pardon me. They know. You know, they call it themselves Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. You know, we don't have to call it Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. They do. So we don't use the such terminology in yeshivas. No yeshiva says you're in the Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Maybe 100 years ago they did that. You'll go into Dalet Klis. Okay, but they did that 100 years ago, not today. But tracking is almost a must. How could you ask a kid who's making a laning in the ninth grade to sit with a kid who can't read? So what's the result of that? Tracking yeshivas, which is elitism. I'll stay off that topic. You need, by the way, you need some Harvards also, I'm not saying, but not as a general rule, as the exception.
Question. As a parent's trying to be even-handed, even-minded, and wants to convey to the son the chashivas of learning Torah, learning when once they're adults, you know, for the long term. At the same time, want to teach the importance of personal responsibility, and it might not be long-term learning might not be suitable for them. But he wants him to feel proud and accomplished if he stays in learning. And on the flip side, he shouldn't feel guilty or inferior if he has to enter the world of Panosa. How do we approach this, parents of Rebbeim approach this balance?
She should speak to her Rav. It's too hard a question. I mean, it's too broad. This is
sounds like for a boy, for a son.
I understand that, but, you can't answer a question who should go to Kail, who shouldn't go. That's the question is, correct?
Marim Chanam them that whatever choice they end up making, they should...
Chanechlanarapidarka is the answer for most questions, and certainly for that question. Chanechlanarapidarka, the kid should not think for a moment. Chanechlanarapidarka means the child should not for a second, he can't think for a second that he's doing the wrong thing. So you have to make each kid feel good about himself. So the kid that can, and the moment is a shayach, it's shayach done. Of course he should. Though if you want to can't, you can't. These are very, very broad questions. They're very hard to answer them. You want to answer some of these questions. It's impossible to answer this.
Okay. It's a little easier question. The next two, a week and a half.
I'm not saying the hard, they could be answered, each one. Each case is different. Every case is different.
Okay. Next 2 weeks or so, the children will be home and they'll be beside themselves with boredom. What can I do to alleviate the boredom and craziness that goes on in our home during this long vacation?
Petition the yeshivas to open up earlier, including mine. It's a very big problem. This is a very, very big problem, and there's a lot of movement and talk about it that maybe the break is too long. We're the only ones really, and I'm preaching over here, I'm getting into trouble because my colleagues, but we have 11-week break, basically, and we're the only city with a frum population, and it's New York City that has that today's day and age. Baltimore is different today. Lakewood, the Dachapkiret, Muncie is different. We're the only ones really who have that. And it's an old thing, but Labor Day is the Raisa. What do you do next year? What do you do, huh? Labor Day next year, September 2nd on Monday, and Rosh Hashanah is September 4th. 3 years ago, there were yeshivas that opened up the preschools after Rosh Hashanah. Dip the apple in the honey. That year, there was no apple, there was no honey. That's it, finished. Because they got rid of it because of the yeshivas. They opened up, I'm not being megazim. There were yeshivas, I'm not saying mainstream dafka. Something has to give on that. So they argue they have to keep the kids off the streets. The problem is the day camp kids. I think the overwhelming population now, the camps are going to day camps. Huge amount of kids are going to day camps now.
The question is between day camp and yeshiva now.
I don't know the answer to that. It's terrible. So I think it's even worse when you start, when the camps start, let's say July 5th and 6th, and yeshiva ended 2 weeks before that. It's even worse. At least the 2 weeks before yeshiva starts, you're buying clothing, you're buying things for them, you're doing things. They're both no good. I'm always there before the summer. I don't understand it. It's something that has bothered me terribly. I spoke to one Manik Adar, Mamashibadi. He says he has a hard time. You know, the bungalow colony, the summer home thing, I'm going to come out like a kanoi. I don't sound like a kanoi. I'm not by nature a kanoi, but this topic bothers me to no end. And I'm not a tzaddik, as you see. You know, I'm a regular person. But the powerful lobby, let's call it, the powerful lobby of parents who go to their summer homes, to the bungalow colonies, it's a Yerusha. I said to somebody recently, that means you're back now. I met him in New York, you're back now. He came back, he works during the week in the city. He says, no, I'm going back at least two more Shabbos. You know, because until Stichus, you realize next year, again, I'm not the one that changes it. Next year, they're going to be saying Stichus in our bungalow colonies. They're going to be doing that. They're going to be saying Stichus in bungalow colonies. And that's Stichus. I don't know. Rosh Hashanah is going to be already September. Stichus will be August 31st, right? August 31st. So people stay in the bungalow colonies. They say Stichus. Why? Because you're already Yavar. You can't give up a weekend in the mountains. It has to be my pech on that. I don't know what parents do. They complain. By the way, I don't know about you. An our yeshiva, we have a regular mixed yeshiva. It's a nice, very nice parent body. 75% to 80% of the parent body, the mothers are working. So the imposition on parents when mothers work is shreklich. I mean, they don't want to take care of the kids. It's babysitting. It should be a change, and it should be massive. I'm not saying my position yeshivas. I was kidding, but it needs to be changed dramatically. It needs to be changed dramatically.
Question. Recently traveled to visit a certain yeshiva. I saw Bachram smoking in the open in front of younger boys. Apparently it's a campus with younger children also. How should we deal with this situation? Go to Anhola, confront them directly?
Go to Anhola, of course. Don't make fights with other people. You shouldn't. When parents mix in the children's fights, it's very unhealthy. So it's also, in a way, that's what it is also. Today, yeshivas would allow that today in America?
Question was written in English. Sounds like from America.
It's unusual to me because smoking is a major no-no. Smoking is now, Baruch Hashem, we all smoked as kids. We did. But it's very commonplace to smoke. But today, it's a no-no. And today, you know, Shul Birnbaum, the day the Surgeon General reports came out in the 1960s, took his cigarettes, crushed them, threw them in the garbage can. That was the Gevura, our Rebbe, Shul Birnbaum. But we all heard about it. And so today it shouldn't be. To allow that, it's criminal. To allow older Bachram to smoke in front of a yeshiva with our little children there, it's criminal. I can't imagine she would allow it. Even at Israel, by the way, where smoking is much more commonplace than it is here in America, it's also today much, much more going down. So in front of yeshiva, Gdaila, that little boys are going to that yeshiva, it's bad for the older Bachram, let alone who don't smoke. It's bad for everybody, let alone little kids.
Question. What's the proper way to be madrich sons and yonik kedusha? Bein the gabbi themselves, bein the gabbi the street. What's the fine line? Oyli mi yotzri, oyli mi yitzri. It's better not to talk, better to talk. Oyli if they talk, oyli if they don't
talk. In the round table, we spoke about that a few weeks ago. At the right age, you have to be very, very careful with young children. If you start making them crazy on the yonim of tzniyos and kedusha, you're going to have crazy kids. The guy you've done with seichel and shalos can understand. There's nothing wrong with a 5, 6, 7-year-old kid told you can't look over there, it's not a nice picture. You can't look at that area, it's not nice. That's, you know, simple things. But to go into major work with them on Kedusha, Shmiras HaNayim, and so on and so forth, you don't want 10-year-olds taking off their eyeglasses. You want it to be normal. There's nothing, by the way, in Chinuch, nothing more important than normalcy. You want to raise normal children. They will develop into Kedushim and great people if you develop them with normalcy. No, the greatest rabbanim reshivas in the world will tell you, do not bring in too much holiness to young children, because if you try to do that and press them on it, it'll cause problems. Be very, very, very careful.
Christian Chayes got them once they're older, once they're 12 and 13. That's
you can talk to them about it. The only reason she can't talk about it, it depends also on kids. Different kids develop younger or later. Depends on the children, but it needs something. It needs to be spoken about, not in public. Now, there's different major machlokes amongst rabbanim, but now, because of the internet and the junk and the garbage available on the street, whether the old rule of not speaking about things barabim doesn't exist anymore. I spoke to Ful Kamenetsky about it for a long time, a few years ago, because someone in yeshiva was really wonderful, wanted to give more open shmusin about it, and he said he shouldn't do it, but he made a line what he can speak about. So today, things change a little bit because of the shmutz out there is so terrible. I don't think there was a dire, again, I didn't live 800 years ago, but I don't think there was a dire ever that kids have to face the challenges of today. And so maybe today you got to speak about it, Barabim, a little bit, but you got to be careful. But it needs to be spoken about the children 100%. Unless the kid is a tzaddik, he is not affected by it, which there are kids like that.
Question. Dealing with the bullying, if your child is suffering from a bully in school, or on a bus, or wherever it may be, is the proper way to teach him that he should hit back at the bully to get him off, and then might be causing... then the bully will go pick on the next kid.
Today every fight is called bullying. Mm-hmm. Years ago, two kids had a fight. Today one's bullying the other one. I'm not making fun of it. Bullying is a very nasty thing, not a nice thing. As a general rule, not on the bus. At home, beat the kid up. You don't want to. I would have no problem, in other words, telling my kid if a kid is teasing him mercilessly. If my child was being teased, beat another kid, and he's and not on the bus because that's not good for the other kids, not good for the yeshiva as a general rule. Okay, but if your kid is being bothered terribly, not the end of the world. I know it's controversial what I'm saying now, because it's not going to go away. But if you try dealing with it other ways, with the child's parents, the bully's parents, or the yeshiva, and it didn't happen yet, you want to take things in your own hands, and one wallop will take care of it. I would encourage it. Don't have me arrested tonight, Rabbi Say, but...
telling your kids to hit back.
That's I wouldn't tell him. If the kid wants to do it, I wouldn't stop him. And I'm telling you, go tell him. No, I'm not saying you do that. But I wouldn't stop him. If he's being teased mercilessly. But not through the yeshiva. Not on the bus. I don't think so.
What can be done today to help the shidduch situation for young men and young women? Which is causing a lot of pressure in many homes. Most homes.
I think I'll leave that for the next speech. Somebody's next speech. I think mine. But it's a problem. It's a real crisis for many girls. It's a very, very big crisis. I'm not saying it isn't. It's a very big crisis, and I'm not making light of it. There are people in our town, there are three, four girls. I feel for them. My heart goes out to them. You know, you could do, by the way, daven for them. My wife lately started giving me names of girls. My wife teaches in a girls' school for many, many years already. And an older girl crosses 23, 24, 25. She gives me the name. I have it, my siddur. I daven for them every day. I don't know what the answer is. I don't have the answer. There's some nice organizations that are working very, very hard. Nasi, other organizations that are trying to alleviate the matzav. But you and I, we can't do much about it except for daven for them and take the name and daven for them. What's wrong with that? You want to help, by the way, your kids know that you mean daven for other people, not just for chaylim. For people that are parnasa, for people that are shidduchim, daven for them. It's a very nice thing. It's a good chinuch, Rabbi say, very good chinuch. Don't tell them who you're davening for, but tell them that you are davening for people in shidduchim.
She spoke before about the bachim off the derech and boy children. Is there any... What can we do that would be our best to avoid such situations?
I think we spoke about it tonight. I think the best thing is to smother them with love and give them everything, you know, whatever you could do within your power to make them feel they're part of the family is very important.
Oh, yeah.
You all get benched. Thank you all very much.
Shame Eganshir Tyre, like a big Shakir, so Rabenda for the answering all the shalas and inspiring Joshua. I'd like to bring a shikar to the sponsors of tonight's share, Mr. Shimon Lefkowitz, the Nishmas Ovid, Rabbi Shobam, Yitzhak Doiv, Rabbi Sholem, and Mr. and Mrs. Mendel Weinstein, the Nishmas, Rabbi Rom Leiber and Pintas David, and Sarah Bas Menachem Mendel, and Mr. and Mrs. Yitzhak Klug, the Nishmas Ovid, Moshe Pintas, Mar Dov Rav Levi, Yisha Itkech, Bas Rabbi Yaakov Menachem, Marisha Chai Rocha Bas Rabbi Yaakov Menachem, and the Cohen family, the Nishmas Rus Bas David, Hainish Mosum Tsurab Tsarachayim. Vice that is one share left of the summer programming is still have a schuss to be a supporter and sponsor of a shir, come up and contact one of the askonim. We'll send email tapecenter@shivanet.com. In addition, if you have any shalas for tomorrow night's shir from Velsky, Halacha Shalas, you can come up and write them down or email them tapecenter@shivanet.com or fax it in 718-686-7713. CDs of tonight's show will be available shortly. Yagdul Tervi Yadu.